The conference is now being recorded.
Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 FY 2022 earnings conference call of Control Print, hosted by Asian Markets Securities Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. Actual results may differ from such expectations, projections, et cetera, whether expressed or implied. Participants are requested to exercise caution while referring to such statements and remarks. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Karan Bhatelia, Asian Markets Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Bhatelia.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon, and welcome all to the Control Print Limited 4Q and FY 2022 earnings conference call hosted by Asian Markets Securities Limited. From the management side, we have with us Mr. Shiva Kabra, Joint Managing Director, and Mr. Rahul Gajare, CFO. I shall now hand over the call to Mr. Rahul for his opening remarks, post which we shall begin the Q&A session. Over to you, Rahul. Thank you.
Thank you, Karan. Welcome everyone to the fourth quarter financial year 2022 earnings conference call of Control Print. Apologize for the rescheduling of the previous call, which had to be postponed due to unforeseen circumstances. We appreciate your taking out time from your busy schedule to attend the call. Hope you and your loved ones are safe and healthy. Mr. Shiva Kabra, Joint Managing Director, joins me on this call. The detailed presentation has already been put up on the website as well as intimated to the stock exchanges. Let me give a brief analysis of the financials for quarter four financial year 2021-22. The manufacturing activities in Q4 maintained a good momentum, and most of the industries increased their production to meet the high demand. The increased production was clearly visible in the higher requirement for consumables, which brought back the smile to the coding and marking industry. The last couple of years have seen extraordinary situations when the strength of the company is tested, and we can assure you that Control Print is geared up for any challenge. We are financially stable and robust and will continue to perform in spite of the unforeseen challenges. This stability of Control Print has also been reaffirmed by credit rating agency CRISIL with an A rating after considering the short and medium-term impact of the COVID pandemic. Our investors can maintain their belief on the company's management for an optimistic future. This quarter's and annual performance delivered the best ever results for Control Print. There was all-round growth in revenue, in margins, and volume growth. These are encouraging signs, and the momentum should continue through the next financial year. Revenue for the quarter and annual was highest ever at 75.56 crores for the quarter and 254.26 crores for the year. The year-on-year growth in revenue is 23.7%, and for 12 months, growth is 24.8%. The reason for growth in revenue was due to good traction in consumables as the industrial production increased, though we believe it is still not at the optimum level and there is scope of improvement. The production of some of the industries was lower due to raw material shortages, as there is still scope of growth in the overall production volumes. The gross margins were dented across industries due to increase in material prices of components, especially electronics, chemicals, and solvents. Active installed base crossed 15,000 mark, which is steadily increasing to grow the business in the coming years. Profit before exceptional item increased 19.8% year-on-year and increased 26.3% for 12 months. Profit before tax increased by 19.7% year-on-year and 41.7% for 12 months. EBITDA increased 27.1% year-on-year and 24.5% for 12 months. We should continue to maintain EBITDA margins north of 24% on a long-term sustainable basis. PAT increased 21.6% year-on-year and 40.3% for 12 months. EPS increased to 25.25 from 18.00, which is up 40.27%. Working capital days improved by 31 days this financial year due to better inventory management and receivables recovery. The company maintains healthy margins with profit before exceptional items at 20.4% and EBITDA at 25.8%, with scope of improvement due to better product mix and higher revenue triggering economies of scale. Let me brief you on the performance of various divisions, products and business segments. Printers and consumables had a positive demand and the increased install base will drive the business in the coming quarters. The company strengthened its market share in the building materials segment and dairy and food sector witnessed continuous growth, strengthening and growth. The pharmaceutical segment witnessed increasing customer penetration, wins in competitor accounts, and focus to scale up in this industry. The SCP division witnessed 12-month growth of 17% as the production of the customers was increasing. The growth was mainly due to improved production of some of the industries where we have a stronghold, like dairy, healthcare, steel and metal, food, FMCG, pipes, cables and wire, distillery, agrochemicals. And was also encouraging to see growth in some of the upcoming sectors like pharma, paints, wood. Product verticals of TIJ, TTO, Hi-Rise continue to have a strong growth and these products are well accepted by the market. We have dedicated managers and team to drive these verticals with focus on dairy, beverages, biscuits, frozen food, ready-to-eat, pharma, packaging, plywood, lubricants, carton coating. These new products continue to grow every quarter, which builds confidence on the potential of these products in the coming years. Laser business is growing steadily as product technology has been improved and a new team is driving the business. This has yielded good dividend, so with positive response from the customers and new opportunities expected in the coming quarters. Service revenue has shown good growth in value terms, which contributes towards profitability. Our strategy for separate verticals for key account and OEM business for focused approach is showing encouraging results and should yield good quantum of business. LCP business reported good growth for the financial year with revival in some cement accounts and pan-India supplies in sugar industry. We are changing our focus to non-LCP business with some new applications and the team is confident of generating business in the coming quarter. With new government directives regarding marking and coding in agrochemical healthcare, we expect some good contribution to our business growth and plastic bags also. Customers, especially large business organizations, are looking for coding and marking solutions so as to avoid counterfeiting of their products. We are offering complete solutions, including availability of our in-house software development team to provide tailor-made solutions as per our customers' expectations. To intensify our reach to the customers, we have strengthened our inside sales team for telecalling the customers to generate good quality leads. This is helping the field sales force to improve their strike rate for order conversion. The company has strong cash flow and the trend is expected to continue. This year we have performed well in every quarter, which shows a sustainable growth trend and the momentum is expected to continue for the next financial year with similar trend of growth trajectory. Fundamentally and inherently, the company remains strong and we are focused on our plans and strategies, as we are confident of the growth potential to deliver positive results. The floor is now open for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line. Please give me a moment. The first question is from the line of Mr. Kaushik Mohan from Moat Financials. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, Kaushik.
Hi, hello sir. I started covering control plane from past 1 day, but I'm sorry if I might be wrong. In past 5 years, I'm seeing a line item called as exceptional item or extraordinary item in your balance sheet, in your P&L. Can you please explain me this?
You mean the exceptional item?
Yes, yes. Every time I see from past 5-6 years, I'm seeing these exceptional items in your P&L.
You see that in the last 2 years, it is at a very negligible amount. Even in the current quarter, it is only 26,000. The previous quarter, it is 11,000. Before that, it is 97,000.
I agree with that, sir, but why is this entry altogether coming? Because as a percentage of whatever the revenue, I'm very new for your business to understand. So I didn't understand what this line item is all meaning about, as well as in the, when I go to the notes to accounts, also I'm not understanding properly. Like I see in your notes to accounts that it is like profit or sale of an investment or something like that.
You see that in note number 5, we have specifically explained the exceptional item. It includes 0.26 lakh for the quarter and 1 lakh for the full year towards changes in fair value of profit loss from sale of units in mutual fund routed through P&L. This is a very negligible amount which we had put in mutual fund, and that is coming. And this, there is an entry of for the year of 315 lakh, which was a sale of our Vasai property, which we had declared, I think, in the first or the second quarter. That was an asset sale, so it came as exceptional item. I don't think there is any other item which is of concern.
Okay. Sir, I just wanted to understand on the business plan. So how your company has been, like now currently, according to my understanding, I feel that there is some growth values in the control plane business. So how, as a management, what is your guidance on to the future numbers? If not the numbers, at least the growth.
What is the guidance on growth?
Growth in sense, how is your business
dynamic? I'm finding it actually difficult to hear you clearly.
Am I audible now?
Sure.
Am I audible now?
Yeah, say it again, yeah, please.
Yes, hi. So, as per your business growth, what is your business growth drivers for coming years? And like, what are you concentrating more on?
I mean, we don't really provide that type of guidance, in all honesty. But, you know, obviously, especially after this whole COVID incident, it's been difficult to answer. Then in the last few months, including the current period, we're really struggling with our supplies for a lot of material, especially the semiconductors. You know, our chips are in real shortage, and it's we're really struggling for it, paying a lot more. But so it's difficult to say. But I think, you know, the obviously as the market grows, you know, we've always maintained that we'll grow at about double of GDP, you know, or industrial production. So, you know, the idea would be to grow consistently. You know, and obviously, to some extent, we depend on the overall consumption of the in the market. You know, but there is a latent amount of things which are not being printed, and that's an additional boost for us. But the volume growth is going to come from you know, the consumption growth. So if you know that's maintained, you know, we saw a good bounce back after this whole COVID shambles and all of that. But you know, so if it maintains, then certainly we can do well. You know.
Okay. Thanks for
and,
the
clarification. Our product portfolio is strong, so we are expecting, you know, if we think the market is growing at like 1 to 1.5 times GDP or industrial production, and we should be able to grow about twice of that.
Okay. Well, got the clarity. Thanks for that.
Yeah. So I think if the GDP grows at like 7%, and, you know, industrial production more over manufacturing growth, then we should be able to do about 15%. So that's an approximate thing you can take. But then it's going to depend on the overall economic growth, because to that extent. So if the economy goes at 7 to 8%, then we should be able to do 14-15%. That's what I think.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhuchanda De from MacPro. Please go ahead.
Hi, I have a couple of questions. The first is, you mentioned about an installed base of 15,000 now. So can we assume that on an average, the consumption will be 1 to 1.2 lakhs, or is that a wrong assumption?
So roughly, that's the trend, assuming that the productions of the customers are normal. In a COVID year, it definitely was lower, but in a normal year, your assumption is correct.
1 to 1.2 lakhs per annum would be the consumer.
Only for the CIJ. Earlier, we had only the CIJ printers.
Right.
Now, we have the TIJ, TTO, so, some printers are higher and some are lower in their consumption, but yes, the CIJ at 1.2 lakh per printer is definitely...
And what about the new ones?
New ones are slightly lower, so they could be as much between 80,000 to a lakh or something. But okay. Since they are more new in the market, the customers are also increasing the usage. We are hoping that this will also give us good revenues. But as of now, they're slightly lower than CIJ.
Okay. Some housekeeping questions. Normally, you share the breakup of the number of printers sold and the breakup between the new printers and the CIJ consumables, etc. So, will it be possible to share it for the quarter and for the year?
Yeah, sure. I do share that all the time. So, in this quarter, our printers is about 18 to 19%. Consumables share of revenue would be 51-52%. The spares would be around 8 to 9%. And spares and service together, you can say about 22-23%. And balance is on the mark.
And in terms of numbers, or whether the numbers or number of printers sold and the breakup between the CIJ and the new age printers?
So we generally give the total number of printers sold this financial year was 3,000 plus. Yeah, we crossed 3,000 for the first time. We did about 3,025 in this financial year.
Okay.
In Q4,
and of which the new age one?
Sorry?
The new products, the TIJ, TTO?
So this is combined. So we don't give the breakup. The combined is about 3,000 plus. And in quarter four, we've done about 900 odd printers.
Okay. Another question is on, you mentioned about when you were mentioning pharma, you said that there were some market share gains also. So overall, if you look at the year gone by, FY22, if you have done, say, a 24% kind of a top line, what would be approximately attributable to the market share gains? And where is your market share at this point in time?
The market share, because the industry reports are not very easily available, we need to see the release of financials of our competitors, especially the larger ones which are filing. Then only we will be able to give more details on how the industry has grown. But I think when we hear from our field staff and the momentum that Control Print is growing at 20%+, we feel that we would have gained market share, but we'll have to wait for our competitors to file their results.
Okay. Because you mentioned about the, obviously there's a direct linkage with the manufacturing activity, but the top line growth could also be propelled by market share gains if that is a trend that you are witnessing, right?
Yeah, we feel that there would be a market share gain because we've opened up more industries. The product range has increased. and we are able to penetrate into competitor accounts. So we would like to see a market share increase once the results of other companies are released.
Is there a pricing advantage of Control Print vis-a-vis the large two competition or the MNC competition?
We are competitive. We don't really undercut or try to gain market share through pricing. But yes, technology, service, and being competitive is definitely one of our forte. I think Control Print has always maintained that service is our strength, and we reach that out to our customers and try to give them the maximum uptime, and that's what is building the confidence on our customers. Of course, price has to be competitive, in the Indian market, but that's not our only advantage.
Okay, and the last question, if I may, is as you step into FY23, what are the main worries?
To interrupt, I'll just repeat exactly what Rahul is saying. So, I think overall, our pricing is not cheaper than our competitors. The idea is to be at the same level. Case to case, sometimes they are cheaper, sometimes we are cheaper. It can of course depend on deal to deal. But overall, on our average price level, the idea is to be at the same level as the competition, as the leading competitors. And we offer better value because we think our technology and our product range is better. And of course, we have the best service network and good logistics in place for sure. So, that's more what we are focusing on offering the customer, and price-wise, we don't really, undercut. Yeah.
That's right.
If you know that, now you can just answer your question.
I also had a question about, as you step into FY23, what are the main worries that you have?
What are the main?
Worries, concerns, worries, challenges.
Right now, of course, key issue for sure is that we are having a massive amount of issues with the chips, supply of our chips and semiconductors. So we are having a lot of production related issues, and we have bought a lot of things from the spot market and at a much higher price in the last quarter, and in this it's continuing. So this is definitely affecting us. It's slowing down the entire logistics chain for us, and the manufacturing is being affected of the printers, which then it has increased our lead time to supply the printers from X stock to definitely like a few weeks at least, and it doesn't look like this thing is easing up anytime soon for us. So this is definitely an area of concern. This is what I say is the main area of concern in the coming year. But otherwise, I think we're okay. But this has to be resolved somehow.
Just one question. I'm just picking your brain on this. From a medium to long-term perspective, is there any technological disruption possible that could, weaken the investment case for a company like yours?
I think obviously, the biggest risk to me is that the statutory risk. The government can always change laws, so obviously, I'd say like 50-60% of the customers are printing because of the government regulations, because you require the date code, the batch code, and all this other stuff. So, of course, if the government regulations change and, they require the less ink or that thing. But we don't think that this will be changing, but at the end of the day, that's been a big driver, going forward, increased traceability requirements, increased inventory. But yeah, technically, it can happen. Technology-wise, I don't see any issue because I think that people always want to see this type of information on their packs. And we cover all the major technology which are applied. So whether you want to, like you said, use a CIJ or a TTO or a laser or a thermal inkjet or a piezo, in the end, you still have to buy it from one of us or something. So, So you'll still get, whether you want a SUV or a passenger car or a utility vehicle, the thing is, you just need a car, look for transport, and we're there for that.
Okay, thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Dipen Shankar from Trustline PMS. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone, and thanks a lot for the opportunity, and congrats for good set of numbers. Rahulji, first of all, want to understand this contribution of this segment for full year, printer, consumables, and other segment.
I just gave that in the previous...
No, it was for Q4, right?
Yes, you want for the full year, you think?
Full year, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so it's quite similar, I'll be honest. I have the figures, but the percentage is quite similar for the full year as well as Q4. I don't see any variation, major variation.
Okay. And in terms of printer capacity utilization, what is the rate currently now?
See, printers, right now we are at about 80-85%. But Shiva mentioned that, you know, chips is the main concern right now. If we can get all the parts availability, we can ramp up the production even more because it's more of an assembly plant and we don't see that as a major bottleneck. So going forward, even if more printers are required in any particular year, we can surely ramp up our shift production.
Okay. And in terms of non-CIJ contribution, so what is that for full year?
Non-CIJ is definitely increasing. Earlier it was in single digit. Now it is definitely crossed. I'm talking about the new products, that is TIJ, TTO and high-rise. But if completely non-CIJ you're talking about, then it will be about 30-35% in that range.
Okay, so this newer one, TTO?
Sorry?
Okay, that I will check later. So, just wanted to check, how is our segment penetration improving in this food and beverages segment, where these MNCs had a really good hold, right? So are we able to penetrate now better in this food and beverages segment?
So to some extent, in one or two segments like dairy and stuff, we've been focusing more on and pharmaceutical, not across the board. But I'll say, like, you know, in the last 2 years, we struggled a lot because of COVID. It's not been easy to meet customers, you know. So people have been focusing more on the existing things. We have gained a good amount of business from specific customers who have had larger requirements. But, we've got a definitely an improving mix coming from the FMCG segment as a whole, you know, food, beverage, pharma, and consumer packaged goods. So it's improved. And I think in that, what I would say, like 2-3 segments are where we've got a good gain. I think food and this thing, and now we are going more into solution providing going forward. So we'll see how that pans out for us.
Okay. So now economy being back in action and more production is happening. So do we accept consumables contribution increasing over next 2 to 3 years?
I mean, I think that, like I said, our overall growth, you know, we are targeting about 2 times manufacturing growth, or in, you know, you can take it as industrial production or GDP, or as, you know, like, sort of, you know, substitutes for that. So obviously, if the, you know, in the end, the consumers all depends on the production, you know, so I cannot predict, you know, obviously, if people are adding more lines and more capacity, or they're selling more, then, you know, they will print more. So, you know, it's like a dependent thing. You know, there's nothing we can control because, you know, that once I give the printer to someone, then it depends on how much he's producing. So, it's like on a per print basis, right? Like we get a certain amount of ink. So, it all depends. But, you know, assuming that consumption increases, you know, then production will increase. And if production increases, then, yeah, definitely we'll print more. And we'll also get the advantage of printing on some applications which maybe were not being printed before, you know, so that's a continuous increase that's there.
Okay, sure. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Companies. Please go ahead.
Yeah, namaskar sir, and thank you for the opportunity.
Namaskar sir.
As could be seen that we have posted the highest revenue on a quarterly basis and also on yearly basis. So we are now 2/3 into the first quarter. So was it an seasonality effect for the March quarter or the momentum still continues since the base has now increased and it is now the consumables that will be driving our profitability going forward?
So I think even in Q1, of course, April is sometimes a subdued month because people have probably overworked in March. So I think overall Q1 should be fine, Saketji, should not be a concern. But Q1 has always been good for us historically. And we see that the momentum of Q4 is also going to continue in Q1.
Right. Sir, on the consumable part, what should be our utilization level?
What should be our utilization level?
Yes, sir.
So again, it is increasing. The volume growth is there in consumables. So now we are 50 to 55% is where we are right now. So we were earlier less than 50. Now we've crossed 50.
Okay. So sir,
enough capacity for future.
I didn't get you, sir. Last.
Enough capacity for the next
year. Yes. Yes. Right. And. Sir, about the mass division, sir, what would be the now going forward the business plan ahead for the mass division currently, sir? I think so. We have claimed the depreciation part, completely depreciated the asset for this year, and what's the roadmap ahead, sir?
So mass, you know, obviously is dependent. Sometimes you know the wave comes and all that. So we hope that there is no more wave because, you know, coding and marking is more important to us than the mass division, and that is not something that we would focus on. Depreciation, yes, by the end of the year, most of the machinery should get depreciated. So mass will not be the driving force in this financial year for sure. Though we, on a long-term basis, we already have the FDA approval, and once things are more normal globally, we will see if we can look for some good export opportunities for mass. But as of now, the focus will remain on the coding and mass.
Okay. But still, sir, it is operating at optimum level. The type of turnover, the percentage it makes will remain the same for this year?
No, I think it will definitely, the coding and marking will be higher. So mass will not be at the same level as last year.
Correct, sir. And sir, about the introduction of this new printer, I think two of them were introduced also, and we were also planning for a new model of Internet of Things pertaining to that. So where are we in midst of that launch, sir? And
to be honest, this was supposed to be have launched in the towards the end of the last financial year, but like Mr. Shiva mentioned, globally the challenges of chip and microconductors is affecting us also and our partners in Germany. So the suppliers who have confirmed orders are defaulting and delaying the supplies. So we have already geared up, we've purchased most of the components for the new launch of the printer. The training has been given to our factory in Nalagarh. And we're just hoping that we'll be able to source the boards quickly. And once that is done, we should be able to launch. So, you know, next month or the month after that, hopefully we will be giving some announcements on the launch of the printer.
And sir, will be catering to any specific industry? I mean, which industry will the printers be aligned?
So this will be our new CIJ printer. No, the technology is changing, so the old printer will get replaced by this new printer. Industry will be the same, but you know, the customers will get a higher end printer with more applications and more things like, it's like industry 4.0 or IoT whatever you can talk. Those features are there in this printer.
So and price point?
Companies will remain the same, applications will be same, but they will get more features in their printer.
And price point also, sir, it will be significantly higher than what the selling prices are? When, what would be the...
we will decide that we launch the printer, then we will take a call on price strategies.
The two P&L items, sir. This quarter, we have booked an other income of 1.57 crore and as employee benefits, expenses have gone up quarter on quarter also year on year. So is it the employee benefit contribute to the KMP contribution, I mean, contribution towards KMP, the profit percentage or anything else?
So the other income is basically the dividend income which we receive on our investment portfolio. That is reflected in other income. And employee cost benefit, you know that we need to keep our employees and their incentives also because, you know, sales are increasing, so incentives are being distributed more. As well as, you know, we need to have a bench strength for our future business. So, yes, this will, this at this level, I think it will continue.
Okay. So, we can look at a quarterly run rate of 15 crore now.
Around that, but if you see as a percentage, it is coming down. What we were 2 years back, around 20-21%, now we are down to about 19-19.5%. So with increase of sales, I think we'll be able to absorb these employee benefits better. But it's required because, you know, we have a 750 plus sales and team now, so we have to retain the employee and they are important for our business.
The last 2 points, sir, on the first thing, the innovative acquisition which we have done, how are things going right there, and on the Sri Lankan write-off part, sir.
Innovative is, you know, it's a newer company, so they've really grown in the last year after Control Print came in, and we had our recent board meeting, and we're quite optimistic this financial year also will see it grow 2-3x. We're quite confident because that business is, and it will continue to grow for the next few years is what our belief is. That's why we invested in Innovative. So though it is not significant to our balance sheet size right now, but maybe a couple of years down the line, it will be a good contributor. We're quite confident of Innovative. Sri Lanka, you know that the country, the economy, the political scenario, everything is under such a turmoil. And there is, to be honest, no visibility going forward, how they're going to come out of this situation. Considering that the board has decided that we should try to wind up the operations and see what regulatory requirements are there in that country. So that process we will be taking up in the next couple of months.
And what has been our investment in the...
So we will take a full, like I said, we need to ascertain all the details regarding how much is the inventory there, how much is the receivable. We also have, to be honest, last few months, we have certain funds which are lying in our current account in Sri Lankan rupees. But I, even though I've personally visited the bank a couple of months back, the bankers are not able to transfer it to India in US dollars because, you know, the biggest challenge is the foreign currency is not available. So we have to ascertain everything and then see how to wind it up. As of now, it's only last week that the board has given the go-ahead. So give us some time to work out the...
Yes, sir, but that is very correct, sir. But just wanted to understand what percentage of business have you done for last year then from the Sri Lankan? Is it any substantial or...
No, I don't think. I don't think so. It's not been substantial, which will affect the Indian balance sheet.
Correct, sir. Thank you for the answer, sir, and all the best to the team, sir. And
thank
I
you.
Hope this momentum, sir, continues. And for plant visit also, sir, if things are could be coordinated, the investors would.
We'll let you know that part.
Yeah.
Thank you for your good wishes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Devanshu Sampath from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello sir, good afternoon. Bunch of questions. So your printer sales in FY22, they are just up about 2%, right, on a YOY basis.
Printer sales volume term?
Yes. Is that correct? 3025 this year versus 2952 last year?
I actually have it for the quarter. It was about 8%, to be honest.
So you mentioned we sold.
But if we take if you take only the new printers, like we have new and buyback mix, the new printers have grown about 7%. To be honest, that's the figure I have worked out. So that is encouraging because you know the customers are still buying the new printers.
Okay, so
as of now, to be honest, the situation is on our side that we are not able to. We have a backlog. Like Mr. Shiva mentioned that the chips are in shortage, so this would have definitely been higher. We could have done maybe a few more printers, and the percentage would have been higher.
So this would I essentially be a industry wide issue, right? So would you have lost market share over here, or would you have gained, or
we've not had anything major as of now. Of course, there is shortage across our competitors also. So we've not cancelled any order or lost anything. It's just that there is the backlog. Earlier, we were supplying the printers faster once we received the order. Now there is a slight backlog, but it's not led to cancellation.
Yeah, right now, I think the impact is more on the cost because, you know, for the last few months, we've been paying a lot more money for our parts because we have to source it from the spot market to continue production, and the situation has honestly only been getting worse. So the types of backlog that are there right now from the orders which we already even long ago are unacceptable. So yeah, we are managing by paying a price, but you know, it's obviously not fun.
So how do you define install base? Last 6 years sale? How do you define installed base? Like 15,000 printers that you're saying we have installed base. So how do you define that?
We take it more on the active printers, you know, customers who are buying consumables or doing some service or some where they are in touch with them over the year. So that's what we call active installed.
Okay. Okay.
Of course, and, sold over the years is much more than 15,000. But like we always mention that you do lose some customers, some printers go out of operation. More or less, we feel that about 15,000 printers would be active with our customers.
Okay. Okay. And can you give a sense on what the number, what your printer numbers could have been if you would have been able to sell? If there was no shortage of semiconductors.
It's not a major backlog, but we could have added another maybe 7,500 printers in the March figures.
Okay. Okay.
Just to clarify, the shortage is mostly on the CIJ printers. It's not like all our printers are in shortage. It's the CIJ where there is that is our main focus all the time. But all the other range of printers, we are still able to supply. There is no grave shortage.
Okay. Okay. And so in your cash flow statement, there's a profit on sale of fixed assets of 3 crores. Can you let me know what that is concerned with?
So in Q1, we had mentioned it. Our Vasai property in Maharashtra, that is the one which we sold.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Their house. But then we were not doing anything concrete there, so we liquidated that.
Okay. Okay. And so congrats to the team for, you know, bringing the inventory level below 100, which has been a long request and I think a pressing point for the company as well. But you also been mentioning that, you know, there'll come a point when after which inventory levels, they will not need to, we won't need a higher level of inventory. So would it be fair to say that the 65-70 crore range is a good number to work with as inventory levels in absolute terms going ahead?
I think so. These are sustainable inventories. I would have said that this can come down a little more, Considering the current situation where we are transiting from one printer to the other and there is shortages, like I mentioned, we bought the part for the new printer, but we just don't have the board, so inventory is gone up by a few crores, which, you know, if we had the boards, maybe that would have been sold out. But considering, I think definitely 70 should not cross 70. 65-70 is a good range. But once the new printer is launched and things are more stable, this can be worked on. So if you will take it as percentage of sales, the number of days of sales, with sales increasing, this should continuously come down. We've always mentioned that, you know, we had to maintain critical spares, which don't need to be added all the time. So that is giving us dividends now, where you can.
Okay, once these problems are resolved, you're saying another 5-10 crore inventory we can still release some, right? Basically, over a 2-year, 3-year period.
Yes, I feel so. Again, okay. It depends on what sales is at that level. But
sure.
I think now it is at a much more optimum level than it was a few years ago.
True. Okay, sir, and what's your any planned capex for the year?
Just like maintenance things, you know, I think.
Okay. So, sir, just, you know, we've been, I have raised this question a bunch of times in the past. So, in one of the calls, also, the Mr. Cabra also had assured that, you know, whenever there's no cash requirement, we'll definitely pay it out. And the payout ratio, of course, the dividend has increased in absolute terms, but the payout ratio has come down to about 37 from about 40-45% levels in the last 2 years. And of course, the cash is piling up. So, can you, what is the management or the board view on this in terms of the reason for a low payout and managing the cash or cash allocation, basically, if you can just give a sense on that?
Yeah, so I think right now it's just a matter of having more firepower available in case, you know, there are options available for inorganic growth, is what I think, or maybe potentially larger investment opportunities. So as you said, you know, we are doing well and we're focused on our core business and we're looking more at getting into more solution-driven, integrated solutions is what we were looking at providing around our coding and marketing base and maybe also looking at certain opportunities in closely allied businesses. So I think that was the main reason. But of course, if we don't find that right type of opportunity, then we will reward the shareholders in the coming times. Either way, we'll reward the shareholders. Either we'll expand the business faster to find the right opportunity, you know, which is the right type of risk reward profile, or of course, either we'll return the money in terms of a buyback or a dividend or some sort of
So is there a outer limit in terms of time limit that we can should we essentially wait for till you can decide on this or announce something to do with this?
I don't think there's anything specific that was there. It has been discussed in the past, but I do think that maybe if there's nothing that happens in this financial year, in the current financial year, then I'm sure we'll do something towards the back end of this year or the next financial year. We're generating cash and of course we're paying dividends and so we're seeing what's there. If, like I said, if we don't see anything concrete, then you know we will definitely, you know, like I said, reward or you know, look at not holding too much cash beyond what's needed. But I can't give you the exact specific numbers. You know, that's something that we'll discuss with the board and we'll get back to you. I do say that, you know, we do have an AGM scheduled most likely in July, if that's definitely a time where any person can also raise this question with the entire board post of Q1 results and our board meeting, and like that could be the time to, check with the board for that.
Sure. Okay. Thank you, and that's it for my side. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Shanab Agarwal from Snowball Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
So it was interesting to see some of the marquee names in the FMCG space in the presentation. So wanted to check how easy or difficult it is to make inroads into these companies, because traditionally these companies have been served by more MNC vendors. I'm talking of, say, Levers or ITC or Marico or, some of these names that figure in your presentation.
So I don't think that the issue for us has not been that. I think we've been in a lot of consumer goods companies, like Unilever, Marico, Emami, whatever. So we've actually been supplying a lot of consumer goods, life care and home care companies. We've traditionally been more weak in the food and beverage space, rather than these two sectors, and of course in pharmaceutical also, I'd say we are, are much less. So I think the issue is that of course it's going to require dedicated focus to win, more market share from these companies. So there is more effort that has to be made. There's no doubt. It's definitely more work to get a, competitor customer than to sell more to your existing customer, or even for as compared to a new customer who's not been using anyone. So there's no doubt about that. But, we've got our strengths and, we are focused on, explaining those to our, competitor customers also, and, hopefully they see some value in that. But I think, like I said, it's not like, our market share gains are not very dynamic in that type of situation. You're not going to go from, 18% to 40% of the market or 30% or something. It's a few, 2-3% a year, 1-3% a year is a good number in terms of a market share. 1%, 2%, so let's say. So that's the type of situation that's there, because, once someone has a printer, it's got a life of 7 to 10 years, and during that time, unless there's some real major issues, people are not really looking at replacement of that equipment.
So some of these majors would be having both consumer business as well as, they would have presence in the food business, where probably we are not, we have a lower presence. So being present in their consumer division, does that give us a leeway, or, does that help us to, take our foot inside the food division business, which might be a different factory at a different location?
No, I think that only, Unilever was the only big one that I know that has a consumer.
The ITC also.
In the food also, that's not a thing. We are printing on those things. But that's one customer. I'm talking more from an overall basis. So most companies,
sure.
Companies are like food companies, and most companies who are, beverage companies are beverage companies, and most companies who are, FMCG or personal care companies are personal care companies. So in personal care, we're actually doing fine traditionally, but we've not been as successful in food and beverage and pharmaceutical. So we are working on increasing our market share, and we have got some penetration, but like you said, it's from a low base, so it takes time to build up. But, we're not looking at it as a one-year thing. We're looking at this over a a 3 to 5 year horizon.
Sure. And so in replying to one of the earlier questions, it was said that we may be launching the upgraded version of CIJ with Internet of Things. So when we launch an upgraded printer, how does it work? The customers, do they buy, or we have to buy back their earlier printers? How does that work?
Yes, so normally when we launch a new printer, generally it has some advantages or some improvements over the existing printers.
Correct.
So there might be some differences also in terms of like a different ink bottle, for example, or ink system. It might not work exactly with the old printers. It might be a different ink series. So, then each customer will decide whether he wants to continue with the, older printer generation or the new printer generation. And the tendency is normally people purchases when they have new requirements. And at the point when they have new requirements, that's when they tend to purchase a new printer and slowly sort of migrate over a few years from the current generation to the new generation. So, people are not going to I've launched a new printer and I'll say I have 18 printers and I'm going to replace them all with a new printer. That's not the way it works, They will go for a phased replacement. So they have a requirement of 2-3 new lines. They will buy the printer, they will evaluate it slowly as they feel that the older printers are, the older generation of printers are aging. They might slowly phase them out in place of the newer printers. So people it's not like a wholesale replacement for sure.
Sure. So when the older printers are replaced, so these printers, do we buy them back or they are scrapped or how does that work?
Largely they're scrapped.
Okay.
What happens in most companies, it's their assets. So,
right.
So we are not really that interested in taking our old phone printers and doing, all sorts of R&D on it, because a lot of the hydraulics and the, this thing is difficult to recycle. You'll have to make an entire new set of parts for that, because
we don't really buy back anything.
Yeah, so the tendency is more you buy new equipment, you have the old equipment, you do it, sometimes if you want to offer it a little bit of a discount, you do it in the form of buyback or something, but the basic focus is more on, you want a new printer, you buy the new printer, and, what you do with the old printer is your issue. A little bit more pressure on that now because of, recyclability and all that. So we are working more with our customers and offering them solutions for how to recycle, their electronic waste and other stuff. So we are doing that also, yes. Plastic.
Sure.
Stuff like that, yeah. So we are working on that part actively. Oh, yes, definitely.
Thank you. Thank you, sir, and all the very best.
Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, please limit to 2 questions per participant. Next question is from Rupen Masalia from RN Associate. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a decent set of numbers. Sir, I just, want your view on total market opportunities. I guess currently it is around 1,400-1,500 crore INR. So is there a scope to venture into some adjacent categories like, say, tracking and tracing technology or maybe some other vertical or maybe through some inorganic route? So just want to know your view on this.
Yeah, so I think we are definitely working down the solutions path and we've got some concrete plans in place. We already offer track and trace solutions. So right now it's mainly being used by the pharmaceutical industry. We feel there's opportunities also outside of the pharmaceutical industry in coming times. But yeah, we're already offering that. But what we want to do is make that more of a solution platform. And we've also got a few other solution platforms that we're working on. On top of that, of course, we need to, traceability and, of course, counterfeiting, anti-counterfeiting. And, these are big issues for companies, branding and stuff like that. So we're working on specific solutions based for the customer. But as far as inorganic opportunities go, I think, and organic opportunities, we're looking at that. There are a lot of adjacencies where we are, because they're right in the cross between the printing industry, the digital printing industry and the packaging industry. So there are many different areas where we can go at. So we are trying to understand, what are the things we can do. So we are actually, definitely going to get more deeper into the printing part of things. And we are. And we're also looking at getting more into the integrated solutions part where our printers are one of the key technologies used for delivering specific solutions to customers like anti-counterfeiting, like, traceability, including track and trace, inventory control, logistics management and stuff like that. So we are, it's a bit of a journey also that we have to take to get to that level. because it's a change of mentality from a product box selling company to a solutions based approach without losing the core focus and, you know, the specs we are having in the current market. So it's, you know, it's going to be a transition.
Okay. So, sir, in the medium term, that is, say, over the next 3 to 5 years, where do you see the overall opportunity size? Like, you know, let us presume that you venture out successfully in few of the adjacencies. So, over the next 3 to 5 years, do you see this size from 1,500 crore INR to maybe 1.5x or maybe 2x of current opportunity?
Yeah, so I think right now what I would say is that the market would grow at about 1 to 1.5 times manufacturing growth. So, you know, if say GDP is about 7%, you can expect the market to grow at 8, you know, 6-7% GDP growth. The market might be growing at 8-10%, and, you know, we should do hopefully faster than the market. That's for the coding and marking business. As far as, you know, the other things go, like I said, we are getting into, we have started doing some track and trace solutions to customers. Obviously, these are big markets, big solutions, but for us, you know, it's still a new area because we've not traditionally been providing the entire solution. You know, traditionally, we've tied up with other people and we've just been providing our printers as part of the solution that they are giving. But of course, the market opportunity is much bigger because we start looking at software opportunities, start looking at, you know, automation and integration opportunities. We'll start looking at inventory control, branding, counterfeiting. You know, those are like things that directly impact the business in a large way. So obviously, the budgetary amounts for those businesses are much larger, but like, go on that front, and then, you know, when we are delivering something concrete and, you know, making a strong business case for customers in certain areas, you know, then I'd like to answer that question at that time. Otherwise, it's just speculation on my part, but definitely strong from our side to move into those areas. Like you said, if we successfully move in, the market is big, but let us prove that we are successful, you know. Let us focus on that right now.
Okay, okay. Thanks for the detailed reply and all the very best for future.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Anurag Patil from Roha Asset Manager. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, last 4 quarters, your gross margin have been kind of a declining. So can you elaborate what is the sustainable number there and what is the current raw material pricing scenario?
So definitely, like I mentioned, the gross margins are under strain, and that you would know that is across industries. It's not only about coding and marking. Commodity prices of everything, including electronics, chemicals, solvents have definitely gone up. We have passed on some of the price increase to our customers, but it's a slow process. We have to first pay our suppliers, and always a challenge to get it from customers. So the process is on. Hopefully in this financial year, if the price increases are more stable and we are able to get from our customers, you will see the gross margins improve. There is, in a stable period, definitely another 2-3% is something we can definitely pull back. But as of now, the situation is not stable.
Okay.
The semiconductor market, like Mr. Shiva mentioned, is we have to continuously buy on spot market to keep the production running. So that is something which is not in control.
Okay, sir. Fair enough. And sir, we have acquired one company a couple of quarters ago. So that time you have mentioned it's a more of a lower end kind of a printers that company manufactures. So can you just tell what was the revenue contribution from that company this year? And if it increases, can it be credit to our gross margins because it's a lower end product?
Like I mentioned to one of the earlier questions, right now it is not significant. It's a new company, less than a year that Control Print has invested. But it has definitely, we are happy with the progress that they are making, approaching the customers. Many of our printers are also now installed. Like I said, that we are also struggling to supply the printers, and the business only comes in when we get consumables on the printers which are installed. Similar to, you know, what we are talking about now in control print. As the installed base increases, the consumables starts driving the business. So that is at a very nascent stage. Maybe you'll have to give it at least 2 to 3 years before it starts showing on the control print balance sheet. But we feel that this year and the next year, they have good growth potential. And we're confident that the business will grow.
Okay, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Karan Batalia from Asian Market Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you and congratulations for a very good set of numbers. Rahul, just wanted to have some clarity on this. So we have this technological arrangement with KBA Germany. So when is it expiring and when are we up for a renegotiation?
I think it's valid till 2026. December 26, it's definitely, I think, there till December 26. Post that, we need to again do. But we do have the clause that we can extend it by another 5 years. Just by mutual consent.
Okay. So before this,
well, as partners, we've been there for more than a decade in partnership, and I don't see there should be an issue in extending the contract. But you know, if we have to see it closer to that date.
Right. And given the fact that the selling price of Indian printers is slightly less compared to the global peers, so going ahead, can we expect better order uptake from KBA Germany for the global markets?
So we have geographical restrictions in our contract. So our focus will be India and the Asian market. They will take care of.
Hello.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Karan Batalia is reconnected. Mr. Karan Batalia, please go ahead.
Yes, I'm done with my questions. You know, any follow-ups you can see on the screen? Or control printing, any closing comments that you want to make? Yeah, Rahul, I'm done with my queries. Any closing comments that you want to make?
Okay. No, just thank you everybody for joining the call and hope everybody is safe and healthy. The pandemic definitely is not coming back soon, hopefully in India at least. And we look forward to a good, prosperous year for globally, if I can say, and control print for sure.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Karan. Thank you, Chorus Call, for arranging the call.
Thank you. On behalf of Asian Market Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.